Welcome to Bitch Talk, booze and interviews straight from the heart of San Francisco. This is Erin, that's Shar. You can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can also find us every Monday morning on BFF.fm from 5:30 to 6. We are heading back to Sundance yet again this week because another film is opening, and it's called Miss Purple. I had the pleasure of watching the film while we're at Sundance on my little laptop, crying my eyes out as I was almost every movie I watched at Sundance. And it's directed by Justin Chan. If you know that name, he directed and starred in a film called Gook, which was set in black and white in L.A. during the race riots down in L.A. in the 80s. And it's just a really powerful, powerful movie. But now he's bringing us Miss Purple, which is co-written by Chris Din. And the cast that we have on today is Tiffany Chu, who's the lead, and Teddy Lee, who plays her brother. Again, I was crying through this film. I'm not going to ruin it for everyone. It's a real powerful story about siblings who are kind of reconciling their lives and their upbringing with their single parent, who's the father in this film, who is dying. And it's good. That's all I'm going to say. It's good. It will definitely get some indie awards. We'll see if it gets up to Academy. But it's so well done, and Justin's such a great director. And as you'll hear on this podcast, he's such a good guy. And I started crying talking with him, and then he gave me a big hug at the end of the interview. So it made me feel so much better. So here's our interview with the cast, director, and co-writer of Miss Purple.
And we are back on the Festival Daily Buzz with Bitch Talk Podcast. My name is John Wildman, here with my co-hosts from Bitch Talk, Aaron Lim and Angela Tabora. And this segment is about Ms. Purple, which is screening at Sundance. We have with us the director, Justin Chan. We have Chris Din, the co-writer. And also in the film, the cast members, Tiffany Chu and Teddy Lee. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Okay.
Yeah. Now, you know, and of course, I'm particularly very excited about this because, Justin, we had you and the crew in for Gook a couple years ago. The critically acclaimed film, and I say critically acclaimed because I'm one of the critics who claimed it was awesome.
It was beautiful.
So why don't you lead us off by introducing our listeners to Ms. Purple and what it's about.
Yeah, so Ms. Purple, it's called Ms. Purple. People wear purple in the film.
There's some purple in there.
There's some purple.
A little bit of purple. Where was Prince in this film?
Yeah. We should have had him make a cameo from heaven.
Yeah.
But that was a bad joke, huh?
No, I enjoyed it.
I immediately felt bad for making that joke.
Oh,
it was all going
R.I.P.
so well.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Fine.
We only have 12 minutes, guys.
Yeah, sorry. I brought up Prince. So, take two.
Yeah. So the film is about a strange brother and sister that are reconnecting during the final days of their father's life. The main character, Casey, played by Tiffany, works as a karaoke hostess to make ends meet and pay for hospice care. Mm-hmm. That's the gist of it.
All right, and Tiffany, I really excited to hear you talk about your work in the film because so much of the time, our camera is focused on you and we are living and dying in each moment by how your character is navigating her way through this. And I would love for you to talk about working with Justin to get that nuance that I think is in this film and that makes it succeed.
Mm-hmm. Working with Justin and also working with Teddy was definitely a big challenge because this character, Casey, it calls for so much emotional depth and you have to go to places where most people don't want to go. And it's great because I have the opportunity to be this vessel to play this character that everybody could relate to in some form of way. And also, it's just really grateful that, you know, I get to be an actor and I get to just play this character. While I think this film talks about something bigger than that, that, you know, there's a lot of people that go through this and the fact that they live in this in their reality every day. And so working with this was a big challenge. We had to overcome some difficult things, and playing this character was, truthfully, it was not fun. Because if you actually did live in this character's shoes...
It would be tough.
It'd be very tough.
Really tough.
Exactly.
But it's real.
It is real.
Yeah.
And let's
yeah.
talk about the dynamic between, because I want to bring Teddy into this with the two of you. And Teddy, talk about that. You know, when you're actors, you know, you're sitting on the set waiting for stuff to happen. I'm sure Justin's set like moved along swimmingly, and things were just happening. In a crackerjack pace. But even with,
how do you know I move like that?
I'm just guessing here.
You can tell by your vibe.
But Teddy and Tiffany, and Teddy, you start. Talk about how you two were able to build that proper dynamic between you.
Spent a lot of time together.
Yeah,
we did like spend a lot.
A ton of time together. The whole month, like prior to the shoot, we had the house that we were renting out for the shoot to ourselves, and we basically spent the hours of like we would get and meet there around like 9 a.m. and stay there for about 12 hours a day.
Now, are both of you guys homework actors? So, like, you know, have all kinds of notes on the side of the script, or are you just like in the moment, just going, "Here's my lines," and now
we
we're just kind
of like
for
went
it.
Back and forth. Like, whenever we would get tired of going over the script and going over the scenes, we would just, I don't know, we would just do normal things, eat.
Yeah. And like a lot of it was also like us helping talking about our relationship. You know, like memories. It was a lot of visualization. But what else? Your process?
I mean, for me, a lot of it was just establishing an organic dialogue between us. Like the connection should feel natural. So when you what you see on screen isn't acting, as it still is. I don't know when it, but it's
keep going.
Justin told me this morning, don't say I don't know. it was a really good experience. It was something that it was a process that I, because no directors will give you that amount of rehearsal time, but we were lucky enough to have that, and it's something
especially
that I've always
on,
read about.
On an independent film.
Yeah,
you,
it's something
you
that I've always read
that.
About growing up, and I've always, but almost every actor, every working actor would tell me, like, it doesn't exist, that rehearsal time doesn't exist. But.
Awesome. And now, Chris, we might get you in here, co-writer on this, and let's talk about the scripting process and affecting that balance between the relationship story that you're telling between a brother and sister, and then also the element with the karaoke guys and the girls that are brought in, because that's almost it almost lends itself to even like a little bit of a thriller aspect to it, that you know it has that kind of edge, and that's a careful balance to get in the script. Talk about that.
The aspect of the karaoke world of
making sure that you're balancing it correct between the relationship dynamic and then that world, the karaoke world.
I see. Yeah, no, that's interesting. I think I feel like most of our conversations were really about the, I guess, understanding the world, and then it always was about the relationships. That's interesting. I haven't heard that.
Well, that's why you're doing the show, because we're the only ones who will ask you this kind of thing.
No, that's great. That's great. I mean, thinking in terms of it as a thriller aspect is really interesting. But I don't know if that was ever something that we like actively talked about. Maybe it's more the nature of that world. But
I think you know, that aspect is what keeps the tension in the film going, and you know, definitely it's the side that's starting to grow, which you know is going to come to a head at some point. So you know, towards the climax, you know that is going to have to come to a head. So it brings a lot of tension, you know, in the film.
I guess we're always aware of tension, but yeah. But I think what we spent most of our time on was always the relationships.
Yeah.
Right.
Therapy for each other, and that's mostly what it was.
Yeah, that's a fine balance, because you can't just make a film. I just don't like films where they're just two people talking, unless if it's like a Linklater film or something like that.
Right.
He just does it so amazingly well. But so if you can't just have scenes where just people are talking, what other elements are going to accentuate the themes and accelerate, you know, the issues in these relationships and put them to the forefront.
Well, you have a real strength with building these characters that that have a true love between them, but in very difficult scenarios and very difficult histories, and both with Gook and this film, it's really wonderful how you pull that off.
So is that a question or just a statement?
That's me starting the critically acclaimed
part again. Yeah, there you go. But
this film was really personal to me. I took care of a ailing father for about 10 years. Sorry, wow. And I wanted to know where you got the story from.
Well, just the way you're reacting to it. That's exactly why I made it. The first few interviews I did, I couldn't get through talking about it without like totally losing it.
Yeah.
Because this film is about me. I have a younger sister, and we've had a lot of tough times, and we love our parents, and we've had some difficult times with our parents, specifically my mother, not my father actually, but sometimes we just can't get along, and sometimes we can, but to me and my sister, like, our parents are everything, and it's just being immigrant kids and everything. I think Tiffany says this a lot, this movie's for our parents, and everybody, that's why it's relatable. Everybody has to go through this at some point. Mm-hmm. And that's I'll give you a hug afterwards.
I'll go to the lighter question now. I want to talk about the music selection for this film and how it's kind of all over the place, but then it's not.
Yeah.
And the Proclaimers, really? You're just gonna throw that into the film, like in the middle with him pushing the father around LA. Yeah. Loved it.
I think my music taste personally is pretty eclectic. Mm-hmm. I like everything. I even like country. And Proclaimers, that particular song, I just adore that song because it just reminds me of my childhood.
Not the single.
Yeah.
Single. Yeah, there's a word.
I'm dating myself. Yeah.
But the needle drops, specifically the Mexican music, like Chavela Vargas' Paloma Negra. That film was a wreck from Octavio, who's not here right now. He plays Octavio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I asked him, is there a song that kind of encapsulates pain? And he's like, I got the perfect thing for you. And it seems like it's all over the place, but there's a theme that runs through all of those songs. And
I meant that in a good way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. No. I took it in that way. Oh, we only have a minute. I'm going to talk faster.
Yeah.
The score was really, really, really hard to nail. Because basically I was asking Roger, my composer, to write a like a Beatles track. Simple, memorable, mm-hmm. and impactful, mm-hmm. and repeatable. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to do. So I pushed him really hard. There was a point where he was like, I can't do any more changes to the score. This is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept pushing, and I think he would even say he's really, really happy with it.
Yeah.
I do have to throw in before we get out of here that the scene where we're pushing the dad around in the bed, I immediately thought of the Monkees TV series.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, going, that cannot be a reference that Justin was going for with that thing. But that's immediately what I thought of when I saw that. Really quickly, we don't have much time, mm-hmm. but I also want you to talk about the color design of the film, because it's great.
Yeah, so, Antti, my cinematographer, also worked on Gook. And, we talked about this for 2 years, trying to figure out what the look was going to be. Los Angeles is very hard to photograph. There's not one single identity. It's all over the place. It's flat. The colorscape is all over the place. So we decided on like a purple and green color palette. The green people don't really notice, but if you look, there's a green tint throughout the whole film. Mm-hmm. And, we had, as you can tell with our traditional dress, is purple. Mm-hmm. And, they just complement pretty well. And it was a lot of trial and error. We did, camera tests and checked their skin tones, and we're trying to figure out what the look was going to be. But, that I got to give credit to Antti. Like, he really stepped up this time. And, I hope my dream is to be like a Chivo and Cuaron, like, duo, I hope to spend my career, like, working with him constantly.
Well, you're now on record saying that, so I'm sure he's
right. Oh, but I'm not saying like I, you know, I'm not saying that.
All right, again, the film is Miss Purple, playing at Sundance. We've had with us Justin Chan, the director, Kristen, the co-writer, and the two stars of the film, Tiffany Chu and Teddy Lee. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Now for the hug. I'm going to give you that hug.
That was our Sundance interview with Justin Chan, the director of Miss Purple, his co-writer Kristen, and the stars of the film Tiffany Chu and Teddy Lee. We hope you really enjoyed that, and we hope that you support another Asian American film that is getting really great critical acclaim, just like The Farewell has this summer. And you can find Miss Purple at your local theater in San Francisco. It's going to be at the Landmark Embarcadero. It's going to be in Berkeley at the Shattuck Cinemas. And then in San Jose, it'll be at Three Below Theaters and Lounge, which I've never heard of, and that sounds awesome. I'm going to guess that they sell drinks there. So go find that film. It opens September 20th again in the Bay Area. It's called Miss Purple. And if you do see it, why don't you just hit us up on socials, or why don't you just send us an email at therealbtpod@gmail.com and say, ooh, I really love that film because you talked about it. I'm going to sign off, but before I do, don't forget, you can find us at bitchtalkpodcast.com. You can also find us at bff.fm every Monday from 5:30 to 6 a.m. We are powered by GoTo Productions. Bitch, please.